Hey, H.O.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh.
1100 a.m.
That right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and
what
Coach.
Up? What up?
You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind, you know it's that time.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes.
Brent Grimes.
About to kill a whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam.
Woo.
Been ballin' since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams.
Uh-huh.
SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Woo. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, canine, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it no more.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable. I would say live, but we are Facebook Live, and we are overlooking Atlanta Station that we're sitting in on Sunday, recording our show in the SRT studios, man. And we apologize for the blackout last week, but we survived. It was a blackout last week, so our live show actually is being moved to next week, but we decided to do a podcast today on a Sunday. Nothing else going on but the NBA, and it doesn't come on at 3:30, so you're stuck with us until then. Thanks for all of you Facebook onlookers who are tuning in, and we go do it today. It's me, Hancock, and Z Money. But for those who have not ever heard the show, we're going to go to the introduction once again. Starting with myself, I am your humble host, Mr. H.O. from
Westside, Bankhead. It won't fall.
Westside, all the way live. And my astute, humble co-host, all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, is in the building. He's the number one Sports Roundtable fan, the number one Dallas Cowboy fan, my main man, the sports superhero, Hancock.
What's up, big homie?
What it is, baby?
What's up, G?
Yo.
What's up, Atlanta? What's up, you podcast listeners? We doing this thing a little bit live. How about that? A little bit live. Everybody out there, y'all call your folks up. Too late to give call them up and let them know we're going to have a podcast. We out here on Facebook, so we'll let them know we're doing it like that.
Yeah, we're Facebook Live. And so, again, if you got any questions, you can send your comments to Facebook Live. Still actually call the show and get on the Facebook Live. You can still call.
Still on.
We still here. You just won't be live on the radio. But anyway, that's my main man, Hancock. Me and him are in here today. And, of course, the man behind the glass, always dropping them dope beats, Mr. G Money.
Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am.
G Money behind the glass, always doing his thing. G, feel funny to be here on a Sunday, man. You good?
I'm all right.
Jay?
I'm all right.
Good.
G-Bun, you bring your Bible?
I left it at home. I got my daily bread, though.
Hey, that'll work.
There you go. Listen, we got, again, a great show. We got some hot news coming up, as it's always hot when it comes to sports. Email bag, we're going to definitely talk about some stuff. And just to mention, the Atlanta Hawks obviously has been listening to the show, because we'll tell you here in a minute what their plans are for the near future. You know, they're not quite clear, but we do have a clear picture of what's going to happen, but not how they're going to actually finish this up. We'll talk the Falcons draft pick, as we did not get a chance to talk about that this past week. We will talk about that. Also, the NBA playoffs is just looking basically like a two-team race at this point. And I have a theory on that. All that starting over, trying to get superstars and all this. Hell, as long as LeBron playing, I mean, what's the point?
I mean, I hear your point, but Golden State was nowhere.
You know, as long as, I'm talking about on the east side.
I feel you.
Yeah, I'm just talking about on the east, because I don't have a team in the west.
Well, maybe if Golden State was in the east, maybe LeBron wouldn't run so rough shot.
Yeah, I agree with that,
because I, you know.
Yeah.
I just... You know, he picked the super team up, but he sure didn't try to build one out west, did
he? Yeah. LeVar Ball is in the news, and we'll get to that in his sneaker deal or somewhat of that clothing line or brand, if you want to say. The Zo2s. They said, why you call it twos if this is your first pair? Well, that's his jersey number. I mean, what if he don't wear number two in the NBA? Hey, G. Hey, let's go ahead and get to this hot dude, man. I'm already cracking up.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching.
He's on fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Hot news sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, run on over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Go to BigEasyGrill.com for the menu. The best shrimp in town, I promise you, is verified. I was just there yesterday. The shrimps are so, they like, hey, they full. You know how you get a shrimp sometimes is more batter than shrimp?
Yeah.
This is more shrimp than batter.
Okay, cool. Well, if a shrimp comes out and is huge, is it then still a shrimp? Because shrimp is what? Called a shrimp because it's small? So we associate small things with shrimp size?
Well.
It's kind of oxymoron, isn't it?
If you come like in, you. I guess. Like when we was 9 or 10 years old, they say, man, you skinnier than a shrimp.
Yeah, you a little shrimp.
Yeah.
But if we go to the restaurant at Big Easy put us some little shrimp, we'd be mad.
We'd be mad.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you. All right, hot news. The Atlanta Falcons, the draft happened last Thursday.
Yep.
Atlanta Falcons took a kid that had a portrait of his grandmother in his hand. Was that an 8x10?
It was bigger than that.
That was a That was a poster.
Well, he took a poster down and met the gangster, I mean Roger Goodell, and interviewed everyone with the poster in his hand, and he had quite a few things to say, and he was pretty emotional and pretty passionate about making it to the NFL. Hancock, did the Falcons get this pick right in your opinion?
You know, I was a little taken aback when I saw the pick. I can't say they got it wrong because I think he's a quality football player. But if your reasoning for not taking another guy that I was really interested in them having and having a chance to get was that there was an injury that you were worried about. Well, Tack has an injury also.
Right.
So, you know, in that respect, if he fits what Dan Quinn wants more than what the player that I would have liked them to take does, then I can't argue with it because we saw last year the same situation. You know, no one saw the Falcons move up to get Keanu Neal. And Neal, you know, was pretty one of the, I guess, steals of the draft if you look at it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to call him steal from the slot that they got him, but unexpected players that, you know, kind of took some shine last year.
Not a popular pick.
Yeah, a popular pick, but he sure turned some heads once he got on the field. So mm-hmm. If you draft for what, you know, your defense or what your philosophy is, then maybe Tack is more of that than other players. So I can't knock the pick anymore. I won't knock it. We'll just have to see.
Very passionate in his interviews. Some people had problems with it. Mm-hmm. Some people were, hey, that's the kind of guy we need. I think I'm on the side of when it comes to having a passion about things and situations that only you can feel, that I think people probably just need to back off of it and let alone, because you don't know the relationship that the kid had with his grandmother. You don't know the feeling. You don't know the struggle. The walking in someone else's shoes is hard to do. And so when it comes to that, I think people need, in my opinion, need to back off of why he is passionate about that particular thing, because that could be the engine, the motor. My suggestion would be, maybe the people who have something to say about it, find your why, find your motivation to try to get to your dream.
And I can respect that, and I respect your views on it. The only issue I have is that when you come into a public forum like that, into a setting where you got kids around, and you have to kind of temper emotions somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be exuberant. It's okay to be, but it's a reason that certain words are not used.
Right.
And that was the same kind of, to tie it in with LeBron's celebration at the parades when he used some, you know, some foul language.
Not so kid,
right.
Kid
when you
words.
Do it, you know, I understand emotion, and I'm not knocking Tack for that, because a lot of it spilled out. But if we sit and say, okay, everybody that's drafted come up here and just go crazy saying and screaming and saying whatever you want to say, then we're going to lose some, you know, we're going to lose some decorum there.
Right.
So I think we have to, that was a moment. I don't begrudge him for doing it. I understand it was genuine or whatever. We just have to kind of take it and move on. And I'm sure he got some discussion with the organization, said, look, we understand the exuberance. We like the passion. We like whatever. But come, we got to temper that a little bit when we go. What happens if he's gets an interception, whatever, and interviewed after the game? Is he going to do that again?
Yeah. They,
you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's got to be that. I understand your point is valid. When that's motivation to succeed because of what your grandmother, whatever she was, or whoever it was, whomever that may be for you, I understand it. Don't get me wrong. I just think we have to.
Oh, I agree. I definitely agree with it. Now, I'm pretty sure his grandmother had something to say as well,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Gee, out of all of that, that has some, it created some hashtags. Hashtag get to the quarterback. Hashtag find me later. Your thoughts on the Falcons picking Tack and all of the media attention that it has actually garnered?
I think it was blown out of proportion a little bit. Like, okay, for these players to get drafted, just the point of getting drafted at all, like, these players, okay, they may show up, they think they're going to go in the first round, then they think they may be the first pick, but they might be the 32nd pick, and they've waited there all night.
Right.
It's still the excitement of being drafted, and your life is going to change. And some people react differently than others. Like, I think he's just a guy who's just excited to be there, to be picked by a team, and everything that he worked for, it was a little overwhelming for him. But I think eventually he'll have that under control.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, the next hot topic is the fight last night. Canelo dominates Chavez, and what I've heard some people on Twitter say it was a waste of money if you purchase the fight. Didn't watch the fight. Heard about it. I read about it. But for anybody who watched the fight, if you're on Facebook Live, was it a waste of time to even purchase it? G, what have you heard on Twitter as far as that is concerned?
I didn't hear a lot about it. I only know like a couple of people who even watched it.
Right.
Like, I know for me personally, the last time I ordered a fight, I know I've never ordered a Mayweather fight.
Okay.
I think like you're just asking for, you're setting yourself up for disappointment if you order a Mayweather fight in the last 10 years, even before that. So, some people watched it, and maybe they're more excited that Canelo's going to fight Triple G, but that's
right.
All I know.
Well, leading into that, I would just say this. It was a unanimous decision. Some headlines say that it was a domination. Chavez didn't even show up. I guess more than anything, Han, we can move forward. And now, Canelo and Triple G will be fighting. And your thoughts on no pay-per-view go light up for this one.
Yeah, I mean, pay-per-view is going to go through the charts because of the names that we have in the ring. But the reason I think that, it's like G said, we don't have the enthusiasm and the excitement for boxing is that we don't know fighters anymore. You know, they don't fight enough on regular television. They don't fight. Right. I can remember growing up and seeing Wilfredo Benitez and seeing Hagler fight and Sugar Ray fight and all these fights were on network television where we all could see them.
Right.
And also, through the Olympic Games, we saw a lot of fighters come through. And without us having any kind of, you know, lineage or any kind of connection with these fighters, Cesar Chavez,
Chavez.
I mean, I know his dad, but I hadn't watched him fight.
Yeah.
So you can't get excited about it. But the Canelo and my man Triple G coming up will be because we have household names.
Yeah.
So I'm sure pay-per-view is going to skyrocket. It's going to go through the roof. I don't know. I'll probably find somewhere to watch it. Don't know if I'll pay for it because boxing just doesn't have the following like that anymore. I mean, we got to have some American fighters that we can get behind. And right now, you can't even name American fighters. Deontay Wilder, the heavyweight. That's about the only one I can name that's got at least some kind of following. Yeah. So, you know, boxing needs to find some way to rival MMA right now. Because at least they are able to show their fights a lot, and you kind of get behind it. So,
well, maybe since Holyfield's son got arrested, maybe you got Chubb and Sonny Michel coming back. Maybe you need to find a side hustle and start.
What was up? I mean, what is your problem?
I don't. He was arrested by a RA. Resident assistant? A resident assistant's toll on you? He must not go to Georgia game. That's crazy. But anyway, all right, let's move on. Kentucky Derby was yesterday. Everybody had their hats on. And don't know a lot about horse racing, but I will tell you this. 4-1 odds if you had Always Dreaming. Always Dreaming, the winner of the Kentucky Derby. 4-1 odds. Nice piece of change. So
good job on that.
You're not alone if you don't know a whole lot about horse racing. I think all the people that show up to the Kentucky Derby, all the celebrities, all the athletes, they don't know anything either.
Exactly. I think they look at the odds and look at the most unique name of all of the horses. And pick the unique name.
Yeah.
I mean, because you go to horse racing to bet. Am I right?
I mean, that's really what it is. Yeah, except for these three big time races that come up in America.
Okay, so. They'll bet though.
Yeah, I mean they do bet, no doubt about it. But growing up, I knew some horses like Aladar, Secretariat, Affirm,
exactly.
Those horses. But these horses now, man, I have no clue.
Well, we'll see. Is Always Dreaming gonna win the second leg?
Yeah.
Because that's coming up pretty soon. Our next topic is obviously LeVar Ball. Shoe came out, and if you don't know what it is, you can actually go to our website, srtradio.com, and it is revealed that that they have launched Zoe 2.
Ahead of Zoe 1.
Ahead of Zoe 1. So the Zoe 2s are out. And for those who don't know, that's his jersey number. But if you get picked by a team that already has the number 2 occupied, he can hold it for ransom and get basically what he wants from that. But anyway, $495 It was first reported that there were 5,000 shoes and some back orders for these shoes. Now the interweb is something else, boy, I tell you. Two guys have researched this and found out that he's only sold 263 pair of shoes. The reported $2.5 million that was first reported is not true. $157,000 in 24 hours is the amount that they are reporting.
How many?
$157,000.
Ordered?
Money.
Oh, okay.
Ordered 263.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, obviously, there's a very, very distinct difference in the amount of money that was first reported and the amount of money that is actually now being reported. So, with all of that being said, 50% of the people are, hey, I feel good. I'm behind you. I'm glad an African-American is doing something. The entrepreneurship, that's how you do it. If I was a parent, I'd do the same thing, yada, yada, yada. Some people are like, you need to sit down and shut up. Will you please sit down? All right, so Han, I'm asking you, are you on one of those sides or are you going to create your own side to be a part of?
Think about creating some shoes. $500 a pop. Hey, I can't knock the hustle because we've seen it in the past with, you know, Richard Williams saying what his daughters were going to do. Came to fruition. Tiger Woods' dad said what was going to happen. Came to fruition. My man Ball has three sons, and he's trying to push them into the limelight. He's already accomplished one thing that he didn't, you know, he doesn't have to hustle for any kind of endorsement or any kind of publicity. Everybody's giving it to him. Everybody know what Big Baller is right now.
Right.
And he didn't pay a dime for it. You know, so now he's got Skip Bayless talking about maybe buying a pair.
Well, Marcel Wallace. Is it Marcel?
The boy on the Sports Nation.
Marcel Wiley?
Yeah, him. Yeah. He said he going to buy a pair just to support.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, the thing about it is,
I guess he's a big baller. Yeah. He's a big baller if you can buy him, right?
Let him go out and score 20 a game, 10 assists, whatever. We'll see what happens because that's what this society is. The only reason that I can put it in this situation right now.
Okay.
You talking about Marcellus Wiley. I was listening to Skip and Shannon. Shannon said he wouldn't buy them because they're not popular. That's the only reason. But he'll go out and spend money on Yeezys and all these other shoes.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So it's about being famous. Let him go out and do some things, then we'll see. I bet Shannon go and get a pair. So it's all about we don't even have to worry about marketing now because he has already been marketed. He just has to show some substance and get a little wave of somebody getting behind him and somebody to buy him. He does not, but the key is he doesn't have to sell the amount of shoes that if he went with Nike, because it would be like a $200 shoe or whatever. He's going to get, what, 2.5 times the pop for every shoe he sells.
Right.
And it all comes to him. It's a win-win if it does tick off the ground. So I can't knock it. It's a hustle.
G, how you feel about Mr. LeVar Ball?
He definitely thinks big. I think, I can't remember what show I heard it on, but that it may be alienating your audience, like who may actually buy these shoes, who may be interested in buying the shoes, if you're trying to be more Gucci than Nike. So, I mean, that, you know, as far as the price goes, and yeah, it's for a player who hasn't played a game yet. He hasn't played. If they came out and they're like, you know, they came out with these shoes after his rookie year, or if he just had his own custom shoes and they weren't available, that could also create some buzz. But as far as like, hey, let's make some money now when we can. And, you know, they went out and did it. I did read that they sold 4,000 pre-orders in 3 hours. And now everything's on back order. But there was also a picture recently of them at a basketball game and they're all wearing Jordans. So
yeah.
Did they have to like give away their own shoes?
But that's conflicting reports because I just saw that on Twitter as well, where they only sold like 263 pairs of shoes. and none on back order. But go ahead, Ham.
Gene, to your point, one thing that resonates with me, and it keeps this narrative keeps pumping, and not to say that you're jumping on it, that was your views on it, but everybody pushes that he hadn't played a game yet. And it's, you know, this. LeBron hadn't played a game, and Nike gave him $90 million out of high school. $90 million out of high school. Hadn't played a game of NBA basketball. So I think it gets pushed out there a lot of times to fit the narrative more than it's being done anyway. You see what I'm saying? Not to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so they keep pushing that point, saying, well, he ain't done nothing. He wasn't LeBron hadn't either.
I still appreciate what he's doing. And he was doing something that these companies weren't ready for. He wanted co-branding, right, kind of like how Nike and Jordan are, but it was Jordan eventually got that branding down the line. He's ready to start off with that.
Exactly.
It's something that those companies hadn't done before and they weren't ready for. So they think it may be reports that they rejected him. I think he rejected them because, okay, they don't understand what I'm trying to do here.
Right.
So I'm going to find a different way.
I gave you two options. I guess I'm going to go other. I really, really, really respect how I respect the hustle. Let me just say it that way. I respect the hustle. I just never been a outspoken guy or never really got on to the brazen outspokenness of people when it comes to certain things. That part can get a little irritable. But the hustle, to what he's trying to do, the dreaming big, the things of that nature, I'm all for it. That's you can't ask for nothing better than that. I know some kids probably would, mom, dad, why don't, you know, we get a t-shirt, we get a hat, you know, something to that nature.
You see the slides too? The flip-flops?
Yeah.
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 220 for those.
Yeah. I actually think it could inspire some people, some parents, to say, I've been sitting on this idea for a long time. I'm just going to step out there and try to do something.
Well, one thing, I bet Nike, Reebok, all of Adidas, all of them are hoping that this does not happen.
Right.
And does not really work. Because he's going to change the game if it does. Honestly. It's going to change the whole game.
Yeah. I agree. And the only issue, G, does his son, with his son that's in college, get in trouble if he's a part of that brand? As an amateur status?
If there's a way that he's seen as being a part of the company, like a staff member of the company, not someone who's being endorsed by the company, I don't think he would get in trouble for that. Like, for example, even though this is on a much, much smaller scale,
right,
when Lil Romeo played basketball at USC, and he was on scholarship there, there were no issues as far as him, the money he made doing music and as an actor.
Right.
There were no NCAA violations there because it was him as a member of the company, not as like someone being endorsed. Not being sponsored.
But they need to stop that anyway, because the problem is that if Lil Romeo wanted to go play pro baseball, he could play pro baseball and still be an amateur in basketball. They don't take your eligibility away if you're playing pro baseball. Daddy Ainge did it. Quincy Carter did it. You know, it's been done, and that to me makes no sense. If you're a pro, you're a pro, right? I mean, seriously, if you're getting paid to play a pro sport, wouldn't that, in your mind, make you ineligible to be an amateur in anything?
Yeah.
But they don't. That's what I mean about these rules cross, and they make it for what they want it to be.
Yeah, I agree. That is something to think about. You can go play baseball and sign a deal.
Exactly.
signing bonus. If you don't like it, you can go back and still play all 4 years.
Wow. I think there's a former number one pick in the MLB draft that is now going to play quarterback at Arizona.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I can't think of his name. Sure is.
So in soccer, you can do it too.
Hey.
Oh, my God. Hey, well, that's going to end our hot news. I had fun with that, man. That was kind of all right. When we get back, we got some email bags. We're going to talk to Dwight Howard. We'll talk the Bengals drafting Mixon and how they are just boycotting that situation in Cincinnati. We got that and a whole lot more. Keep it locked. Sports Roundtable.
Ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
Come to the Georgia Renaissance Festival, where you'll see
Robin Hood, a Mary Queen, hordes of swords and juggling, men in tights who like to fight with sharp things in their hands.
Yeah!
Clothing, jewelry, pottery, it's like you've won the lottery. Stop on by.
Why not hurry?
For fun and food and drink.
The Renaissance Festival is open every weekend through June 4th, just south of Atlanta's airport on I-85. Get discount tickets at select Sam's Clubs or at GARENFEST.com. It's more fun than you can shake a turkey leg at.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
The bridge.
Boy, if Trump can get in the White House, they ought to be able to do something with that bridge.
Come on, talk to me, man.
That's ridiculous, man.
It's crazy.
Superhero is my moniker, but I'm going to have to talk to Alfred or something to get me a plane. We got to do something. That's ridiculous, man. Man, they slaves got home quicker than Harriet Tubman than I can get down here. This is crazy. We need the Underground Railroad or something.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable back. Yeah, we here on Sunday, man.
Sunday.
Thanks for tuning in. Podcasting live. Doing it like that, if that's even a such word. But each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, please tune in. You can go to srtradio.com. You can download the app, AM 1100 WWE is where you'll find it. Download the app. You can go to TuneIn Radio and iHeartRadio to listen to the show. Quick note. Jay Smooth will be sitting in for me this week on Wednesday as I will be in Trump C.
Just call it Chocolate City.
I will be out of town for work at least after 5 o'clock, then I won't be work. So I'm all stoked up.
You might as well use the White House because he doesn't stay there for me.
I can go and visit.
You just go and chill.
Exactly.
Hey, they not using it.
They ain't
on the
using
weekend.
It anyway.
Yeah, you might as well go.
Exactly. So, but that's crazy. But again, thanks for tuning in on a Sunday Sports Roundtable. H.O. Hancock, G-Money in the building, man. We're doing our thing. Continue to follow. Man, listen, the website is hot, man. You can go to the website and just get every piece of information you need as far as sports. So please go to srtradio.com and check that out. And with that being said, we got to get into some email bags. So, G.
You've got mail.
Email bag. Jay Cutler. Now moves to the booth. The question is now, will he be a better quarterback or a better analyst?
Well, I mean, let's look at Jay Cutler's history, man. I mean, how can he critique people? You know what I mean? I mean, you and I always talk about when we see these analysts come off of their playing days and they act like they were so much better than they were.
Right.
You know, I remember Sean Salisbury when he was on NFL. Trent Dilfer. I mean, these guys talk like they were just, you know, quintessential quarterbacks, these, you know, above the fray type players. And what happens when somebody's body language doesn't measure up to what you think they do and you're Jay Cutler? What has been his whole MO? Look at how he looks. Look at his face. You know, look at his demeanor.
It's the look on his face.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So how does he have any credibility in critiquing a quarterback or something like that? Or saying what should happen in this situation? When you haven't led anybody to anything, you haven't won anything, you haven't done anything.
He led the trainers to the sideline when he got hurt.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it just is what it is to me. Credibility should matter. And I don't know if he has any of that, you know, calling games or being able to critique something other than maybe he can analyze the situation. But if he goes into talking about what a player should be on the field, it's going to be a problem.
So he actually joined a three-man booth at Fox. That could help him out, Hancock. Go ahead, G.
I think the credibility thing is just, I don't know. To me, that's just my view.
I mean, it would be interesting if he goes that route. Because he has played in this recent era of, you know, it's a wide open passing game, you know, different defenses. So he is more aware of what the playing style is like than Trent Dilfer and Sean Salisbury. I mean, Trent Dilfer, I guess he may have gotten the green light or whatever to say the things he said because he won a Super Bowl. Not because of him, right. But he won a Super Bowl.
Thank you, Ray Lewis.
And I think their perspective is dated. I think that's why they're not at a particular network anymore. But with Cutler, he was just there. And it's going to be the same with Romo. They were just there. They know what the game is like now. And they'll offer a more in-depth analysis and help people understand more because they actually played in the game that we're watching right now.
Didn't Mike Vick play in this era too?
Not the wild.
He didn't play in throwing era. He played
well,
with Chip Kelly.
Oh, I'm sorry. In Philadelphia, yeah. He did.
I'm just saying. I understand what you're saying, G, and I agree with that perspective that you can give by coming right out the field. But sometimes to me, man, I some things just stink. And this one to me is a little malodorous.
What's also interesting is that the people that he's worked with, like Adam Gase, who was his offense coordinator in Denver or Chicago.
Chicago, I think.
Okay, it was in Chicago. But he has said, well, Jay's a really smart guy and he understands the game and I think he's gonna do a good job. And I can't remember any other names, but other people are saying, well, yeah, I think Jay's going to do a good job. But there's people who like know him and have talked to him. And to the rest of us on the outside, we just know that look on his face. Yeah.
I hope these are the same people that LeVar Ball employs to sell his shoes. Because if he can get these people to buy the Jay Cutler, I'm sure his shoes can go through the roof. You just got to have the right machine behind.
So basically, To answer the question, is he going to be the same analyst as he going to be the quarterback?
I'm just saying, I mean, some things we are fed, man, and we just had to take them. And we're being fed Jay Cutler. I mean, it is what it is. If the establishment and the right machine gets behind you, you can get to where you want to be. And I'm telling you, we see it all the time. Jay Cutler is at least Romo played for Dallas and had a follower. You understand what I'm saying? So you can understand the machine pushing him. But Jay Cutler is a nobody. Nobody wants him. He's been a quarterback that has been maligned for most of his career for not living up to what he could do. At least if you look at Romo, Romo was an overachiever. He didn't even get drafted. And he ascended to this spot. So we can't call him an underachiever. He's an overachiever. He wasn't even supposed to be here. But we look at Cutler being the big arm quarterback coming out, highly touted, whatever, out of Vandy. But was supposed to be a savior for a couple of teams and hadn't done anything. I mean, so all I'm saying is, what pushed it? I mean, this came from nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? He did no
It came from him not being able to get a quarterback job
right.
in the NFL.
But what I'm saying is he came from never
not one that he wanted.
But did he
ever play for the Jets.
During the playoffs, was he ever even a guest analyst? Have you ever seen him do anything?
No. Nah. But I wonder what Brandon Marshall would say about
it. Have you seen any interviews he's done?
Nope.
Brandon Marshall's done TV and whatever.
Yeah.
He's doing it. All I'm saying is this to me, it stinks. It stinks. He had no pushing at all. No, I mean, well, he got plenty of pushing, but he had no grounds, no platform. He hadn't even done anything in the booth.
He might not even have 100,000 Twitter followers.
Well, Fox thought enough of him because he did audition. And probably there are probably a lot more players who audition for these jobs more than we think. He auditioned and they thought enough of him to put him on a team with which is really their second unit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not some regional game. He's not being brought in to do the radio for Chicago or whatever city.
Right. That's my point.
You know, they thought enough of him, like, yeah, we can put this guy on TV.
Hey, that's my point. But, you know, we're not even going to get into Fox because Fox got some issues at the network.
Yeah, I agree.
You've got mail.
Dwight Howard says he's unhappy once again in Atlanta. He's been unhappy for the way he was not used in the fourth quarter. He was unhappy in Houston. He was unhappy in Los Angeles. And I don't know if he was unhappy in Orlando, but he ended up getting out of there. But anyway, I think I'm going to side with Dwight Howard on this. The Hawks' leading rebounder last year was 16th in the league. Paul Millsap with 8 rebounds a game. Dwight Howard was 5th in rebounding this year. Maybe 3rd. 3rd or 5th. But anyway, he was top 5 in rebounds, top 5 in block shots. Top 5 in offensive rebounds. Shot way better free throw percentage than we would expect him to shoot. Said he was unhappy with how the Hawks used his offense. When they first got him, they were screaming pick and roll this, pick and roll that. And we still looking for the pick and roll. I think Bud need to kind of eat a little crow on this one. And take a little accountability for the way that he did not use Dwight. If anything, he can alter shots, stop people from getting to the hole, a la John Wall, as he goes for 42 in the game clincher in Atlanta. Dwight didn't even play for 26 minutes or 28 minutes. Wall himself said, much easier to get to the basket than when the big guy's on the bench. Bud has to take accountability for this. And maybe in the topic moving forward, we'll talk about why he probably got distracted. But Dwight Howard, I'm with you on this part. You have all the right in the world to be upset as far as your first year with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I concur with your analysis on that, Big Dog. I think when you look at Dwight, you have to put him in positions where he can be successful. He's not your back to the basket, throw it into him, and he can shake and bake or do whatever he has to do to get his own shot. He relies on a lot of penetration, throw the ball at the hoop, second chance rebounds for putbacks, and those things are not conducive to what the Hawks do. They really didn't have enough shooting around him to put that part into play. They don't enter in the post, and then they didn't run a lot of pick and roll for him.
Right.
So anything that he was getting, he was pretty much getting on his own as far as when it would come off the rim. But the philosophy of the Hawks for the past few years that he's been here has been, Bud that is, has been, we don't crash the offensive boards like that. We get our shot up and we get back on defense. That's the way we limit the fast breaks.
Right.
So if that's not what best fits Dwight, then you're not going to utilize him right. And I don't think that this is the place, you know, if you're going to keep that philosophy, it's not going to be that place. You have to go out and get some more shooters to help free up some room for him, and you get him on some move, some movement toward the rim, rather than trying to say, okay, isolating him one-on-one in the post and letting him turn, jump hook left or right, is not going to happen. He has to come up, set high screen and roll, go to the basket, get the lobs, or, you know, catch something in that way. He had to get him something off the move, because that's just what makes him successful. And I agree with you, he should be upset. But I don't think, as to some of the things that were underlined that have come out, I don't think he was in Bud's plans anyway. I think it was more of a, this is what you're going to get. We're losing. Well, we didn't know if we were going to lose Al or whatever, but to the point, if he is going, we're going to have another big guy in here. And I think he was kind of forced into Bud's situation.
All right, G.
Well, I kind of agree with you there. I'm on his side with that. He was, when he was brought in, everyone knew, okay, this is going to be your defensive anchor.
Right.
And everyone knew he was still capable of doing that. Offensively, we don't know what we're going to get, but we should be able to get something. You know, we have the, it looked to be a similar situation to when he was in Orlando, to where he has four shooters around him. At least three of those four shooters could handle the ball. And it seemed like it was going to be that same situation when he comes to Atlanta, but it definitely turned out not to be that way. I saw several box scores where he got five or less shots playing 35 minutes.
Right.
Like, he's not part of the offense. And if you can't even, like, you can't, like, run a play for him, you can't design plays for him to get easy baskets, and you're worried about shooting all these threes, and you're not worried about offensive rebounding, what is he there for? He's there to rebound and get you easy baskets and anchor your defense, but you're not trying to do any of those things.
Easy baskets, you can run a cross screen, a pin down, open up, get in the basket, at least give him a look. Let him touch it. So, but unhappy, hey, look, maybe he shouldn't be unhappy. Maybe he should be pissed, because that's what I would be if this was told to me. And like Hancock said, maybe it was that marketing thing coming home, that the owner and the CEO wanted to have in bringing home someone that they thought could do that. But the owner don't seem happy at all when I heard the interview. So some changes are coming. And with that being said,
you've got mail.
The Hawks front office news says that Coach Bud is stepping down and GM Wes Wilcox is stepping down to be an advisor, and Coach Bud is only going to be the coach. Email says, who do you guys think would be a great candidate for the Hawks GM job? There are some names. Let's just make this quick. Joe Dumars came up. David Griffin. Even Grant Hill name came up. Somebody else.
You said Griffin, Grant Hill.
Joe Dumars. Well, let's just take these three. All three of these candidates have connections. Grant Hill played with Joe Dumars in Detroit, and he actually, David Griffin was in Phoenix when Grant Hill played for Phoenix as a GM. Grant Hill is a minority owner of the Hawks, so people would say, well, why go outside when you have someone inside? Well, first of all, I don't think Grant Hill has the expertise to actually do this at this particular time. Not to say he could not, but I don't think at this point is when you need to bring someone in to try out for the first time.
Well, I was going to say, like, would you consider it to be different than if it was like when John Lynch was brought in to be the GM of the 49ers? The guy who came straight out of the broadcasting booth to being a GM. Do you think that can't translate as far as basketball goes?
I think he could, but I think this situation that Atlanta is in needs an influx of some experience. We've had enough of John Lynch's in the Atlanta era. We've had enough of those. And I don't even want to go through all those GMs to even talk about. Joe Dumars, David Griffin. Now, the only two knocks against both of those is one pick Darko and one pick Anthony Bennett.
Yeah. My thing on Griffin is if Griffin can't bring LeBron, it really kind of knocks him down to me.
Right.
Joe Dumars, we already talked about whether the game passes people by or whatever. And, you know, we were talking about Cutler a minute ago. The reason that, you know, it was brought up with Cutler may be because he just left the field. Well, you know, the same could be said that Dumars may have been past his prime on that. We hadn't seen him picking players as of late, so we don't know what might happen with him. As far as the Grant Hill situation, I'm not really mad at if he came in and tried to be GM. You know, I think sometimes we might need to give new blood a chance. You know, maybe he sees something a little bit different. I mean, Theo Epstein came from somewhere. So, I mean, there are times where it might need a little different viewpoint or whatever on a certain situation. I myself like Kevin McHale as a candidate. I thought he would be a good candidate. We talked about amongst ourselves on our chat once, I think last week. I think that's the name. I think even, who's that? Orlando may be looking at him themselves as a possible candidate to fill their position along with Griffin. But, you know, I think when we look at Griffin, I think he gets a lot of acclaim right now because of LeBron. When you got LeBron, you can have LeBron with a cup of slaw and they're pretty much going to get in the playoffs.
Right.
So, I mean, you look at the players that he's put around him, it's not like he's gone out and gotten, you know, spectacular players. Kyrie was already there. The Kevin Love situation was an easy pick because LeBron told him to do it. You know, LeBron said, I need another shooter. Darren Williams was open. He went and got him. Another playmaker, whatever. I mean, it's not like he's doing something that's just extravagant. I mean, he's getting players that are really past their prime and plugging them in. The New York situation, New York gave up all these players a year ago. And he got Shumpert, JR, and they traded the other big guy to the Lakers. I mean, that way he signed with the Lakers. Right. I mean, all these people kind of fell in his lap with that trade. So, I mean, it's like to me, you can if the moves pan out, you can tend to be better than I think you really are a lot of times.
I think that the case for Grant Hill to be the GM is that he has played in this current era. I mean, it was a couple of years ago, but he still played in this current era where it's kind of wide open and a lot of there's an emphasis on shooting and the guard play rather than big men. With Joe Dumars, his team was built on an older style of basketball, which he stuck with for too long. And with Griffin, the case against him is that, okay, yeah, he got all those players for the Cavs, but you know how much they are over on the salary cap?
Right.
Like how much luxury tax money that the Cavs will have to pay out. But they were doing that because the owner was willing to do that, and you could say he was doing everything he can to placate LeBron. He won't have that opportunity in Atlanta.
I agree.
And another thing about as far as Grant Hill that I like to touch on, Grant Hill is calling college games and NBA games. So he's watching the game at both levels and seeing how they kind of he can see players that he feels that, okay, this guy can play at the next level, along with seeing how the game is played at the NBA game. So I think that all will benefit him as a GM. So I really think, given the chance, and he's a smart guy. I mean, we're not talking about, I think he's very cerebral. I mean, so I think he knows the game, he knows players. I wouldn't mind seeing him in that spot.
And where did he go to school?
Well, you know, everything can't go in his favor. His daddy was a cowboy.
Oh, Kenny Smith is the other name that we talked about.
Yeah.
So, G, I guess to your point, that would be that John Lynch type situation if someone would have gone with Kenny Smith, and your thoughts on Kenny Smith yourself.
That would also be an interesting pick. But this is a guy. But he's a guy who is he's watching these games,
right?
And he understands how the game has evolved. I think like you could probably make a case that the way the game is played today kind of goes back to those Houston teams he was on.
When he this close from getting the Houston job?
Before, as far as the being the GM?
Or, was it the Houston job or the GM?
I thought it was a GM job with Kenny Smith.
I'm not sure if it was a coach job. It may have been the coach's job. I'm not sure.
You remember he interviewed with Houston.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was the coach before they hired Antonio. It was the coach.
So he was. Yeah. And because they brought Dwight Howard on set that time, they was like, okay, maybe this got. Yeah. You know, it was some ABCD right. with this.
And he's also doing some college things too during the tournament. Yeah, so he sees the players too. So. You know, I like those guys that kind of have been in touch with both games.
Right.
Because I think it gives them an insight of what these guys can do at the next level.
All right, G. Sam Mitchell.
Why? Why not? Why are we talking about Sam Mitchell?
Why not?
Right now.
I mean, he coach of the year in Toronto, right?
That was a long time ago.
Coach of Minnesota twice.
Who has not made the playoffs since they traded Kevin Garnett.
Okay. Smart guy.
Okay, I guess.
He mentored Kevin Garnett.
That doesn't get him a lot. As far as being the GM or the coach of anybody.
All right, I'm done.
He played with Reggie Miller, too. Like, so?
All right, go ahead. Hey, what you got on Sam?
I wouldn't mind Sam. I think he's good at player development. I think if you look at what he's done with Cat up there in Minnesota and bringing him in to helping him become what he's become, I think he could be a good – I think he could mentor a lot of players and help them, you know, adjust to this game. I think he knows the game. And you need that bridge. I think he would be a good GM. It's kind of tough in that way, though, because when we think of that, we want that GM to be kind of hands-off.
Right.
So it kind of takes my point away in that respect. But I think he knows the game well enough. I think he'd be a good in the front office position.
Okay. Mark Jackson.
Myself, I would love Mark Jackson. I mean, if you look at what he did with Golden State, we know he can recognize talent. And this is what I was saying to you 2 to 3 years ago. Nobody was checking for Golden State. We look at Golden State now and say they had all these great players. These all-stars. Draymond, second rounder. Klay Thompson, mid to late first rounder. Steph Curry didn't know what he was going to be. Harrison Barnes. Maybe was thought to be probably the better player to come out. Being that he had the big name coming out of Carolina, even though his game didn't blossom the way it should have at Carolina.
Didn't he get drafted before Draymond?
He was. Yeah,
he was a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Draymond was second round. He was a lottery pick.
Right.
So, I mean, I think he was taken up high and was supposed to be the player of all those drafted in that group.
Carolina Jinx.
So,
ahead.
I mean, when you look at him being able to understand what players can fit together and how they can, you know, best be used, I think that would be a good spot for him. Like I said, he does games. When you do the games and you see what works and what players work in this league, it helps. I remember him coming out and saying Steph would be a great point guard. And he said it before anybody was saying it. And I didn't see it. I honestly did not see it. But he said it. And Steph is top three to four point guard and two-time MVP. Only unanimous MVP to ever be in the league. So for him to recognize that before everybody, to me, says a lot.
Okay. Monty Williams, G.
I don't know who that is.
The former
coach of
assistant.
New Orleans also.
Yeah, he used to coach in New Orleans.
Oh, Monty Williams. Yeah. Okay. I thought you said somebody else.
The unfortunate incident,
right.
You know, with his wife. And he's been a part of the Olympic teams, you know, for the last 4 to 5
former Spurs assistant. Yeah.
Former Spurs.
I think he could be, as a GM
right.
for the Hawks. I'm not sure of his player evaluation history. Honestly, I think he should still be coach of the Pelicans right now. I think he was let go because – the owner got impatient and then saw the Warriors win and thought he needed to get one of their assistants. So he should still be coaching the Pelicans right now. As far as his evaluation of players, it's possible. I mean, well, like I said, like I'm for a Grant Hill hire. I'll be for a Monty Williams hire. He knows what the game is right now, and they need it. I think the Hawks need a new face. They don't need a retread GM.
Sometimes when the big name comes in, the expectations comes with the big name. And sometimes when those smaller name comes in, the expectation is not as high. So it kind of leaves room for where you can see the improvement rather than trying to compare it to, let's say, the Phil Jackson situation in New York. No one sees the development that Porzingis and the other big kid from overseas.
From Latvia, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Some of those things goes unnoticed because of the big name.
Hernan Gomez.
Yeah, that is above, and we always compare those big names to the success or the progress of the situation, and sometimes that is kind of unfair, in my opinion.
One other thing, you look at that, bringing a GM in to work with a coach who's already there can sometimes be a little hectic also.
Right.
Because that GM comes in, and what if he doesn't pick players that fit the philosophy of the coach? That can also hurt an organization. Getting back to your Monty Williams, he comes out of that Popovich tree along with what Budenholzer does and how Budenholzer coaches. So that might be a good marriage if you look at it, because they have already worked together as assistants. They might be inclined to be a better team as GM and coach. So one thing you might want to look at.
All right. Got one more email bag question here. This go be a good one.
You've got mail.
Joe Mixon drafted by the Bengals. How do y'all see his first season going with him being the third running back on the depth chart?
I was kind of
kind of deep, though.
I was kind of surprised that the Bengals. I was surprised, but wasn't surprised. How about that?
Yeah, that's kind of.
Yeah. I was surprised because you have two young running backs that you kind of have put for the future anyway. I guess they'll be coming up on contracts soon, so maybe you'll be inclined to let one of them go if Mixon pans out to be the running back that, you know, they think he's going to be. Plus, right, both of these backs have had injuries in the past few years that have taken parts of their seasons away. So Mixon may be that insurance policy that they need. But it just goes to show you how hypocritical this league is that they'll take a player like Mixon because of what he might be able to do for the organization, you know, having his baggage or whatever coming out of college. And then you look at Colin Kaepernick's baggage, and he can't get a sniff. And we know how porous the quarterback situation is in the NFL right now.
You say porous?
Yeah. just weak. So, think about that. I mean, what's the lesser of two evils? Is it because you don't stand up for the national anthem? Or you swing on a female? What's worse? I mean, it just goes to show you the hypocrisy that we face. And that's what I keep saying. It's about whatever the establishment deems right at the time. So I hated to get on that soap opera about Mixon. We were talking about his draft being drafted by the Bengals. But the Bengals being an organization that are taking chances on running backs and on play, well, not just running backs, on players that we've seen that have sketchy pass.
Sound like he fits right in.
He fits right in, you know. And for some reason, they do it. The Cowboys do it in a sense also. But the Bengals seem to be that team when you go from the Pac-Man situation. Pac-Man, I just call him Pac-Man. That's what he is. That's his name. That's what we know him as.
Adam Jones.
The perfect situation.
Yep.
I mean, it just happens to be that organization that has always got something going on. So hopefully that kid does get past this. I'm in no way saying that I don't think he didn't deserve a chance. Don't get me wrong. It's not that. I'm just saying that when I look at these other things that are held in such high regard and put on this pedestal, is that, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because of this. But you can turn and take this kid for that. It just, it's hypocritical to me. Hypocritical to me.
Jay, how you think Mason going to do this first year?
I've actually seen some reports that he could start.
Whoa.
He gives them a, I guess they need that home run threat in the backfield. He'll get you, you know, chunks of yardage, but maybe they think Mixon could be that big play guy, or he may be that combination of Hill and Bernard as far as he can catch the ball out of the backfield too. So I've seen some words that he's the favorite to start, and the Bengals, they know what they're getting into. If they've done their due diligence as far as pre-draft and they still went with him, they know what they're getting into. And if this was a one-time incident with him, then they really don't have anything to worry about. There is such a focus on that. And, you know, if you commit anything, any kind of anything related to domestic violence, that's all you're going to be, like, it seems like forever.
Oh, gee, he could spit gum on the sidewalk right now. It's going to be a problem. It doesn't matter. He's going to be under scrutiny, big time scrutiny for anything that he does. So he has to really walk the straight and narrow.
But the Bengals, they are aware of that. I think he's aware of that. So they took the risk, and he might be just too big of a talent to pass up. And they think he could start right now. You got to take him. So that's what they did.
Wow. Would you pick him in fantasy before any of his teammates as far as running back?
If I see that he's going to start, that he's going to be the starter, getting most of the carries, and what he can do in the field, yeah, I'd take him.
You do, Han?
I want to see the preseason, and if he's being utilized the way D says he's going to be used, yeah, I mean, I think his durability, you know, coming into the league won't be questioned, as we've seen Gio Bernard and what's the other running back, D?
Jeremy Hill.
Both had injuries that have kept them out. So, I mean, it's a possibility, man. I think he's that type of talent. You know, it's arguably that he's at least right behind Fournette as the second best running back between he and Dalvin Cook. So,
they're not letting them Christian McCaffrey supporters hear you say that.
McCaffrey, to me, he's not really a running back. So. Not that he's not a football player, but right. I don't think he's a running back.
Hey, man, the email bag session is sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for any used, pre-owned, or a new car, please contact Jay's at Jay's Used Cars at 770-496-0339. If you mention SRT or Sports Roundtable, you get a 10% discount on your down payment. Check the website for inventory, jaysusedcars.com. We're going to go ahead and take a break. That's going to end for our first hour of the show. When we come back, we go talk all NBA, and it's going to be live. Trust me. You listen to this podcast today on Sunday. SRT crew, H.O., Han, and G-Money's in the building. Y'all keep it locked. We'll be right back.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM. What's up, Sports Roundtable listeners? This is Greg, a.k.a. G-Money, a.k.a. the man behind the glass for the SRT crew. Now, do you have a podcast or radio show you want to take to the next level? Are you a DJ looking for that special voice for your drops during your set? Are you looking for some narration for that big presentation? Do all of these apply, but you're on a budget? Well, come see me at Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. I can do all of these and more, just starting at $5. That's it, $5. I know you got $5. So stop by Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. That's GREGHURD. Check out my demo and hit me up with an order so we can make that presentation, that pod, that drop really pop. Who knows? Maybe I can help you make a better show than Sports Roundtable. But don't tell the crew I said that, okay? Just that's between us. Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. Hit me up and I hope to hear from you soon. Tax season is coming to a close, and if you're still looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car, look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you a car. Visit Jay's Used Cars at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker, and mention Sports Roundtable and get a 10% discount. And before you get there, go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap. Sports Roundtable.
Whoever discontinued Save-A-Lots. Those are the shortbread cookies with the chocolate on the back, the extra big ones used to say Save-A-Lot. Yep. Whoever discontinued that, I'm going to take your badge. Mm. All y'all little Girl Scouts selling them cookies on the corner, I'm going to walk up and I'm going to take your badge if you ain't got no Save-A-Lots. I'm going to kick your table over. I'm going to crush your Thin Mints. I'm going to lick all the coconuts off your Samoas. Get my doggone Save-A-Lots back. Get them. Get me my Save-A-Lots.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Yo.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and
what
Coach.
Up? Up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind, you know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill a whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Woo. Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams.
Uh-huh.
SRT next up. Big dog pick step in Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real Woo. Talk, canine, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it no more.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable live, SRT Studios overlooking Atlantic Station. We're actually podcasting today, so we're actually not live on radio, but we're live in studio. Thanks for tuning in for another hot hour. The first hour of that was awesome. H.O., myself, Hancock is here, G Money behind the glass, doing it on a Sunday, man. We came in here with our Bibles in our book bag, and we doing it up. First hour of the show was sponsored by Jay's Used Cars and the Big Easy Grill. The second hour of the show is sponsored by Design Queen. If you have a business and you are homeless on the internet, please contact Design Queen. .com. She is on Facebook as well. She will make your business light up and bright. Just go to srtradio.com. You can get a chance to see one of many websites that she has done, and because she is rocking and rolling. So go to srtradio.com, check out our website, and Design Queen is the one who actually did our site. So And also mention that if you do mention SRT or Sports Roundtable, you will get a 10% discount on your website. So, second hour show is sponsored by her. Another note, we will be, don't forget to check us out this Wednesday, each and every Wednesday, actually, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on AM 1100. WRN. But we're going to move into roundtable discussion and talk a little NBA. It's somewhat fun, but then you go over to the West, it's kind of boring as well. So, G, with that being said, let's jump into this roundtable discussion.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion. Now this is sponsored by Big Boy Cigars. If you're looking for that one stogie that you love and you want a smooth, easy, tasteful cigar, check out Big Boy Cigars on Facebook. Like the page, and if you want to holler at me about some cigars, please do so. For more information, please go to Big Boy Cigars Facebook page, and you can follow us on IG at Big Boy Cigars. Think big, drink big, smoke big, Big Boy Cigars. And that's what I will be doing once I leave here. NBA playoffs. Let's be honest. Has it been fun to watch? Kind of boring? Or what word would you describe watching this year's NBA playoffs? And
I think a little of both. This series between the Cavs and Toronto has been horrible to watch. I expected more out of Toronto, but you know, the demise of the Cavs was greatly exaggerated. They had their rest. They came in and they've taken the heart of Toronto. You know, a lot. Maybe you want to give them a little, you know, a little caveat to Lowry being out, which may have affected them some. But he's a up and down player, so he may have had a little time in the series to make them effective in certain moments. But I don't think as a whole they would have been too much of a competition for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you want me to continue on with what I see about the rest of the series? We're going to talk about that.
No, that's fine. I just want to know if it's.
Yeah, I mean, because the Golden State side has been boring also. Yeah. When you look at the two dominant teams, I think it's been boring. But when you look at the Washington-Boston series, pretty interesting. I mean, even now we got a little salt being thrown with Houston and the Spurs, because a lot of the narrative has been that the Spurs have taken the threes away from Houston, and D'Antoni bristles at that fact, saying that we're just missing shots. We've had open threes and we're just missing them, you know. So we'll see. Game four today might be a little interesting because we're getting a little testy over there. We already know the Boston and Washington series is testy, so right. It's been a little of both.
Okay, Jay, what's your thoughts?
Well, I did not expect the Cavs-Raptors to be any kind of entertaining. the Raptors are very difficult to watch. I wanted the Bucks to win that series just to see, like, how will the Cavs adjust to how Milwaukee's set up.
But right.
The Raptors won, and now they set themselves up to get swept.
Right.
Congratulations. Get swept by the Cavs.
What about in the West?
In the West, Golden State, they're doing what they're supposed to do. I think because there is no nightlife in Salt Lake City, then they weren't distracted last night. They just did what they had to do. The Rocket Spurs series has a lot of interesting dynamics, as you may have mentioned. Like, okay, the Spurs don't have Tony Parker, so now how does Popovich make that adjustment without a player? He can put different pieces together, but when he's missing one, how does he make that adjustment? Is Patty Mills going to be playing, you know, 35, 40 minutes? Do you put Kyle Anderson at the point? Do you use Murray more? You know, who knows what he's going to do? We see what his options might be, but how is he going to make that adjustment? And, you know, we just expect, because he's Popovich, that he's going to do something. And then with Washington and Boston, I miss that kind of basketball where everyone's sniping at each other.
Right.
And, you know, even if the guy is way over here after you got knocked down, it was frustrating enough to where Oubre went after Olenek. To where, like, he got a running start at him. And I kind of missed that kind of basketball. I don't think he should have been suspended. It was just a shove. He didn't throw a closed hand punch or anything like that. But that it gives – you have some – at least you have something with the playoffs.
Right.
Because with the two best teams who we think are on a collision course toward each other, there's nothing really to talk about with them unless they're down in the series or somehow they don't get to the finals.
All right. I mean, I agree with everything y'all said. I mean, I want to see who go get ejected next when it comes to Boston and Washington. Who's going to get, you know. But more interesting, did the Mars kid brother play for him the other night?
You wouldn't be able to tell if he did.
I mean, they are exactly, I mean, everything.
They had the same haircut, same tattoos in the same place.
I mean,
they probably also have all the same clothes too. You know, yeah, hard to tell.
Yeah, they're extremely difficult to distinguish, man. You can't tell them apart.
They said they did do that once, where one of them played for the other. Because one had fouled, they were in AAU. One of them fouled out, but then the one who could still play hurt his ankle, So they just switched jerseys while no one was looking, and the guy, and he went in and he limped a little bit to make it seem like, oh yeah, I'm the one that was hurt.
Well, he didn't limp the other night.
If he would get off of the angriness all the time and just play a little bit more.
Which one are you talking about?
Whichever one is mad.
Oh, but we don't know.
That's what I'm saying. The mad one. If he would just stay a little bit more even keel sometime. Because he can play. They both have game. But it's like he lets the emotion of the moment take him out of his game.
Well, sometimes. If he do it, the other one do it, right?
Well, I don't know which one's doing it. We just said we don't know which one's playing, so I don't know. But whoever is suiting up for Washington.
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe.
Well, that could be both of them.
Maybe when he's playing good, the angry one is sitting down. We don't know. I don't know.
But this is my question. What if the league found out that they actually swapped players? What would happen?
How would they prove?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they could prove that it happened.
With Twitter, the cameras, everything with today's world.
How?
I don't know. I mean.
They may have a picture of one of them putting on a jersey. How do you know if that's the wrong
if
one putting on the jersey?
If they both walked in and got butt naked and spun around each other, how you going to tell them apart? Seriously. If they have the same tattoos.
Actually, I think it's some report that says that something about their salary. I'm gonna have to pull it up.
What, they gonna walk around with the salary on their chest to tell you?
No, I think they salary was going to one account.
Oh, okay.
It was something crazy.
They do have a shared bank account.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
so that's getting a little strange. I mean, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, brothers and all, but it's getting a little strange, you know.
What would you do if you had a twin? What prank would you do if you had a twin?
I'd be cool if vacation time. If I, you know, you need a couple days. Hey, look, bro, give me the day. Give me this weekend. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would be cool. The wives would probably be in trouble. I wouldn't do it to the wives, but the girlfriends would be in trouble. You know. Can you imagine? What about the kids? How could the kids? Can you think the kids can distinguish their dads?
That's, ooh.
You see what I'm saying?
Do they have any?
I mean, I'm just saying, if they do it, whatever. But do you think they could distinguish their father from the...
Well, can the baby mama distinguish which one is?
He probably can.
Go ahead, G.
If they live in different cities, possibly. But if they live in the same city, if they play on the same team again, and they're probably going to be next door neighbors or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible for these kids.
Is there any way you can tell them apart?
I can't.
No. They have the same tattoos in the same place. Same tattoos in the same place. They got the same haircut.
So, hold on. So
I mean, they are truly identical twins.
So, basically, Scott Brooks, Stan Van Gundy, really don't know who the hell they coaching.
They can switch teams themselves.
They don't know who played for them.
You wouldn't know.
If I asked them which one of the twins played for you, one of them.
I feel like playing for Detroit tonight. All right, come on through.
That's
he go,
crazy.
Go to work.
That's crazy. Wow.
Hey, man, your jumper was wet yesterday. What happened today? Just ain't falling the same because it's a different person shooting. That would be crazy.
That is crazy. All right, speaking of Washington, though. John Wall, has he actually ascended now to that guy? I mean, that point guard that, because I think a couple of years ago, last year, he was, you know, he was feeling a little disrespected when naming point guards of the NBA.
Yeah, right.
So.
I mean, you and I have talked about it. You know, I think he's ascended to arguably the second best player in the East right now, behind LeBron, you know, for what he does. I know we can talk about what Kyrie can do and how, but Kyrie has LeBron on his team. Let's just talk about what they do on their court, on the court for their team.
Right.
And when you look at what Wall does right now, it's hard to say beside LeBron who's a better player in the East right now, if we take LeBron out of the equation.
Right.
I mean, he's... You look at the scoring, he does that. Assists, he does that. He defends. You know, it's nothing that he's not doing as a point guard. You know, I know he took a lot of flack from a lot of the established, you know, talking heads saying because he came in. You know, a lot of that has to do with the prejudice or whatever word you want to use toward Kentucky and Kentucky players and how the one-and-done situation goes. I think that's a lot of animosity that comes into that situation because they look at those guys as being pampered and privileged and whatever and, you know, 1 year done it, they're doing it the wrong way or whatever. But you cannot knock what Wall has done and how he succeeded in the league, you know, in these past 3 to 4 years. He's become one of the better players, not just point guards. He's one of the better players in the NBA right now.
All right, G.
When Wall came into the league, I thought, well, okay, he's going to be good, but he can't shoot. I don't know how long he's going to last because he can't shoot. But he's gotten better at that. So he's really close if you don't consider him a complete player already. Like you said, he can score, he can defend, he gets his teammates involved. Sometimes I see he would have over 10 assists, but no one else on the team would have more than 10 points. I'm like, who is he passing to?
Right.
But I think he has taken that next step as being, you know, if he matches up against Kyrie in the next round, that's going to be a very interesting matchup. And right now, Washington is getting there. I don't know if they're not the complete team yet. I don't think they're ready to beat a team like Cleveland yet.
Right.
But he's at least getting them to that point to where maybe next year they beat a team like Cleveland. I think they can beat Boston if they stay in the game mentally.
Right.
I think they can beat them because they figured out what to do against, you know, that kind
of team. They finally figured out their pick and roll and all of
Think they're a good wing away? Wing player?
I think they may need to look into a different, like, the more I see Bradley Beal, the more I don't know if he's the right kind of player, like, to play alongside John Wall. Because I thought when Beal came to the league, a lot of the main player he was compared to when he came to the league was Ray Allen. I thought he was going to be this knockdown shooter or, you know, this big-time scorer. And I see a lot of games where he's, like, shooting 5 for 18, 6 for 21. Like, he's inconsistent to me. So I think maybe they need to look into someone else at the shooting guard.
How about this trade proposal? Sign and trade Paul George for Bradley Beal. And find a two.
If Paul George doesn't make the All-NBA team, it could happen. Because I think Beal's contract is that big to where the salaries could match.
Yeah.
Paul George and John Wall together. To
your point, G, and I understand that piece of it, but what they have in the three, which is Otto Porter,
move him.
He's not a scorer. He's a shooter.
And just this year, he's a shooter.
Right. So John Wall is a penetrator. Beal is more or less of just a shooter. They need someone that can get it from the three-point line, the mid-range, and can get it.
I mean, you can definitely consider moving Porter too. I mean, need another guy who can. You can give them the ball,
right,
and they could go get a basket.
Exactly.
You don't have to depend on Wall to set them up.
I agree. So, I think whatever that piece is, I think it's in that what we just described.
They got a piece to chip right there in Beal. Beal could definitely be a piece.
Him and that you could, Otto Porter.
That's what I mean. I mean, you could really possibly do something with that and get Paul George and John Wall together. That's a nice combination. You're looking for one more piece. You already got a big rough and tumble center. So you good with that. They'll even make him better.
Would in a two guard, would you need somebody that can still stretch the floor, player. Or you need a defensive two.
You need a 3-and-D guy.
Right.
You need a 3-and-D guy.
Somebody that not like in Oklahoma City where the three guy can only be a defender. You definitely need somebody that can defend, that's, you know, but can still make the open shot.
Let's talk about Boston. Isaiah Thomas averaging 18 points on the road, 32 points at home. That's very inconsistent. Al Horford has stepped up this series and played. Jay Crowder has hit some threes.
He would have to hit more if I was defending, because I would take I'm telling you, you have to take Isaiah away. And I don't think they realized that until game, well, maybe three, when they started running.
Game three.
Yeah, game three. Started bumping him and taking him away and making it hard on him, you know, rather than just letting him line up and beat you off the dribble and get to the back. It astounds me how someone who's five, they stretch it and say 5'9", can gypsy do whatever and then just lay the ball up at the rim when you got 7 foot of 6'10", 6'9", people around. Yeah. All you have to do is be big. Once he leaves the floor, he still has to come basically under your chest to get the ball up. Just get the ball at the apex. You can wait till he shoots it.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me how he's able to get the ball up on these guys at the rim. And I understand he's a great ball player. But this is the NBA, man. You have to make him fear coming in there and laying that ball up. Put him in, you just force him into spots where he can, it's a difficult shot. Right. And I just don't understand how they make it, how it's so easy for him to get it up.
Jay, what you think about the what they've done to Isaiah to make him average 18 on the road and 32 at home?
Well, you've heard the old adage about, like, role players play better at home in basketball, and on the road, you can't expect a whole lot from them. Right. Like, it looks like it's Isaiah Thomas and a bunch of role players
right.
when they're on the road. And the way that Washington kind of changed their strategy in game three was, it was kind of a Jordan rules kind of thing, but like, okay, whenever he drives, we're going to have three people coming at him. And he's not going to be able to see, you know, other players who may, he won't be able to get the ball to anybody else. You know, he may turn it over right. or he's going to take a bad shot. So Washington changed their strategy, but that, and then at least, okay, so someone else has to get the offense going, or someone at least has to get their own offensive game going. We thought it was going to be Al Horford.
Right.
We thought it could be Avery Bradley, but maybe he still can't shoot. Maybe it's supposed to be Marcus Smart, but he is James Harden with none of the offense.
Wow.
And then with Jay Crowder, he just stands in the corner. So, like, I don't know what Boston has to adjust things offensively to get something going if Isaiah Thomas can't, because if he doesn't, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
To be honest, I really like what Boston has done, but if I want to see a competitive, I think at least semi-competitive Eastern Conference final, I would rather see Washington and Cleveland, because I think Wall and Beal at least give you more of a chance than Isaiah against Cleveland.
Right.
So I'm really hoping Washington can get through this, to be honest with you.
What it also adds here is that in the playoffs, you're playing the same team at least four times. You see what worked and what didn't work the previous game and make adjustments. The other team is going to do that too. But I think Washington may have figured out, okay, this is what Boston does. And if we stop that or make adjustments to that, they have been, because in the first two games, Washington was up by 20 in the first quarter and they couldn't hold the lead. And then in game three, they were finally able to hold that lead. So they'll start off fast and they could blow Boston away. And if they just make adjustments on defensively, they could win the series.
Now, Cleveland and Toronto is playing now. And it's 28-28 at the end of the first quarter. And then at 6:30, the aforementioned Boston and Washington playing at Washington again. And actually, I will be flying to Washington tomorrow. So I guess I can chill at the White House.
I told you, do that. There
ain't nobody else there. And I ain't going to be watching no games because the games are going back to Boston. So let's go to Cleveland and Toronto. Two thoughts on Toronto and Cleveland. One, in Cleveland, Hancock, at least you said, and I agree, that their defense had been horrible the last part of the season. Now, from the reports that I've heard from Windhorse, is that they was actually practicing certain defenses without actually doing it in the game in practice until they get to the playoffs. So now, whatever they are doing to Toronto in double teaming DeRozan is the defense that they have been practicing.
Yeah.
Now, they sound good.
Right. And the reason that sounds good is because DeRozan does not stretch the defense. That's
but the, I had to tell the story.
That's the big. We cannot. They can spin this any way they want to, you know, about how the defense is picked up. But when the number one scorer on the other team is all mid-range, and for the first two games, you just completely took him away. He finally got loose in game three.
And Lowry is out. Yeah.
You know,
so let's not forget that.
I mean, yeah, you can sit there and say this and they're back and the defense is great and all that, but we'll see. We'll see. I just, like I said, when a team is so dependent on a scorer being a mid-range guy, it kind of limits that explosiveness we always talk about. So we'll see. I mean, you know, I do think that their defensive intensity has picked up because you get that day's rest in between.
Right.
And you're playing the same team over and over, and that helps because you know where their sets. You know what they're going to do. You know where they're going to be. So we always say it's a game of adjustments, but Toronto is going into the series now with one arm tied behind their back. They don't have their point guard. You know, so it is what it is. They're probably in it today.
Right.
And we'll move on and we'll see what happens. But that's why I would love to see them play Washington rather than Boston, because I think Washington at least gives them a better series.
Right, and both of the Marses can play.
Exactly.
Gee, you were laughing.
Okay, they're practicing. Like, how to defend the Toronto Raptors? Double team DeMar DeRozan. The end.
How much practice time do you need?
You know, it's like, that's like spending a whole lot of, like, okay, in basketball, college basketball, Syracuse, they're famous for running the 2-3 zone. They practice it like 15 minutes a day. You don't have to do a whole lot.
Right.
I mean, there's not a whole lot to explain. It's easy to understand. Double team DeRozan. And you don't have Kyle Lowry? Yeah, let's just double team DeRozan. Let's make Norman Powell and Serge Ibaka beat us off the dribble or with those corner threes. Are those corner threes going to beat us? If it happens, so be it. But we can't let DeRozan, we can either make DeRozan beat us by himself or make everyone else beat us without him.
DeRozan, right. All right, let's flip it over to the other side. Toronto possibly could get swept today. They did what they tried to do. They tried to sign DeMar Carroll a couple of years ago to defend LeBron. It didn't work in Atlanta. I don't know why they think they would go work in Toronto. They also signed Serge Ibaka this year to try to give them a more of a stretch four because Patterson wasn't giving them what they needed. Lowry is a free agent. They signed DeRozan last year. This could possibly be the end of Toronto's run. Lowry is a free agent. Ibaka is a free agent. Corey Joseph is a free agent. And Patrick Patterson is a free agent. In your opinion, Han, is it over?
Well, you
have
know,
you seen the ball demand.
They accuse me a lot of times of wanting to blow up stuff anyway. So you know, I get that. You know, heck, you just always want to tear it up. Yeah, it's time to tear it up. It's not working. You know, from the head coach on down, it's not working. And like I said, when you have a dominant player that's a mid-range guy, that's an anomaly in the NBA right now. You can't think of another team that just has a guy that doesn't shoot threes that's scoring 30 points or 20. He doesn't do it. You know, at some, you have to stretch and go out and shoot threes.
He made the pickup lead just so long.
So long. I mean, it is what it is. So I think it's time to find a way to probably tear that backcourt up. Probably Lowry, I would believe, since you've already signed DeRozan. Lowry has all these injury problems every year. We see it constantly. He's always, you know, and at this time of year, whether it's a wrist, ankle, something, he's always something. So that train may have already, you know, started to load up and lead the station, man. You have so many years in this league to get something accomplished as far as the championship when you had that window. We've seen it with Indiana. Indiana had a chance. They went up against LeBron for a couple years in a row and looked like they were almost able to get over the hump and just couldn't quite do it. And now they had to tear it up and trying to build, and they're still – this is something that you always say. You got to be careful about how you tear it up because it could put you in a tailspin. So I understand that point. But I just think if you're going to keep knocking your head up against it, it's not going to get any better. It's time to move on. So I think Toronto, especially with the other team starting to catch up on them.
Yeah, maybe Washington. Exactly. That team. Go ahead. G.
Lowry, he could be a free agent if he opts out.
Right.
He'll have to opt out.
Well, he's going to have to opt out to get more money. So
yeah.
He
Ibaka, Patterson, Tucker, yeah, they're definitely all free agents. I think the key thing is, like, they need a new coach. I don't believe in Dwayne Casey. I'm not even sure how he got that job. But it has to be, like I've said this for a long time, the Raptors don't have any kind of offense to where DeMar DeRozan, a mid-range jumper from DeMar DeRozan is your best option. That means you don't have an offense at all.
Right.
So I think a new coach that has some kind of system that can get the most out of these players and expand DeRozan's game. And it's not that I don't think he can't shoot the three. He's just completely unwilling.
Right.
To stretch his game. As I said, he plays like Dwayne Wade used to.
Right.
I think a different coach, a different
set of eyes,
a different set of eyes, a new system to where you can work with these players to get more out of them.
How much influence would Drake have?
He wants John Calipari. That's his input. He wants John Calipari to coach the Raptors.
Oh, wow. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we go jump onto the west side and see what's popping over there with arguably the best player in the league in Kawhi Leonard and arguably the MVP of the league in James Harden. Sports Roundtable, keep it locked. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
I know. You're thinking, there is nothing better than relaxing the days away on a soothing vacation. Unless you're saving a ton of money while you do it. Stop what you're doing right now and join Hotels Etc., America's premier discount travel service. When you join Hotels Etc., you'll be able to take the same amazing vacations and stay at the same amazing hotels with discounts up to 70%. You sure you got that?
Discounts up to 70%.
Plus, Hotels Etc. get you deals on everything, like cruises, car rentals, even movies, restaurants, entertainment, theme parks, and much, much more. Now you're thinking, this is going to cost me thousands. Well, think again. The low, low price will blow you away. Plus, if you join right now, you can try Hotels Etc. absolutely free for 72 hours. Wake up, people.
Try it free for 3 days.
No cost, no obligation. So now you have your vacation and your money, too. Never pay full price again. Join Hotels Etc. right now and slash your travel and entertainment costs up to 70%. Call toll-free 877-967-7283. 877-967-7283. Or sign up online, hotelsetc.com. That's hotelsetc.com.
Sports Roundtable.
He talked about it. He said that when he was locked up with the handcuffs down the tunnel, they came down hollering about they had MJ on the phone. He said, if he don't have the key, I don't want to talk to him.
Only on the Worldwide Radio Network.
We're back. Sunday afternoon, Sports Roundtable is in the building. It's doing a live recorded podcast. Thanks for tuning in. It will be up tonight, so please go to srtradio.com to check it out if you missed it. Before we went to break, we were talking about the NBA playoffs. We went over to the East, talked about LeBron, the Cavs. Toronto and how their team is possibly going to break up. We also talked about how testy Boston and the Washington Wizards series is. And we also talked about the coaches for the Wizards in Detroit really don't know which twin they actually coach. They just, it's no way possible that they can tell them apart. That's crazy. Wow. But anyway, we're going to jump over to the West side and talk about, listen, the Utah and Golden State series is really a no match. Golden State tried everything they could to try to give them the game last night. I mean everything. Everything they could. Draymond was trying to get a tech, and I understand, Han, what you was talking about. It almost showed his ugly head.
That's my point, man.
You know, and go ahead and expound on what we always talking, so
yeah.
we just putting it in the album for everybody can hear.
And this is my point when it comes to the absence of Steve Kerr. It's not in the X's and O's. It's not in Golden State not knowing what to do, how to defend teams, how to run their offense, whatever. It's in reeling in Draymond when he gets to that line. Because there's nobody else in the organization that can bring him back. Steve Kerr will go in his face and it doesn't matter.
Right.
They'll cuss and talk back to each other, whatever. Everybody else in that organization, I don't see a player that will meet force with force. And that's what it's going to take with Draymond. You can't talk him back. You have to get back at him. And I don't know if there's anybody, like I said, in the organization that will get back at him and say, you're wrong. Sit your butt down. You know, everybody else goes, come on, Draymond. Okay, that's enough. And it's not that way. And I don't think anybody on that team has his respect in that way. I think he respects some guys on the team. But you had to have, like, I was listening to Chauncey Billups, who has been in that situation with the Rasheed Wallace's. And yeah. what he said was very, very, very,
profound.
Telling in what he was saying. You know, it profound, right. And what he was saying was that he knew when to let them go and let them get it off their chest or blow that steam off. But then he knew that they respected him enough to where when he says, okay, big fella, that's enough. It's time to play. It would happen. And they would get back in line. I don't see a Chauncey Billups on that team. Steph's not that guy. He's not that guy that Draymond's going to stop and listen to. We don't know what Kevin Durant, because he and Kevin are the first year together like that. David West probably has enough fight in him to do it, but we don't know. You see what I'm saying? I'm sure he'll fight Draymond because that's the type of player he is.
Right.
But I don't know who on that team can tell Draymond, shut up and sit down or stop, and he'll do it.
Right.
And it might cost them in the end because keep getting texts, a crazy situation like LeBron stepping over his head and him basically just raising his arm up and he gets, he hit him in the groin and he gets suspended and that was that.
Right.
And that was, to me, that was the series. You can argue with me and whatever, but you cannot make me believe that going back to Golden State game 5 with all that momentum, that they wouldn't have closed that series out. I really feel like in 5 games it would have been over last year. But I think them winning with Cavs winning, and I'm digressing, but the Cavs winning game 5 started that momentum and started that thing to unravel.
Right.
But like I said, if they don't fight, with Kerr not being there, that's the problem for Golden State right now.
Now, to your point of going back while you was digressing, this is what I've always said, and this is what I've always believed, and this is to your point now. Draymond put himself in that position knowing the situation with the technical foul. He put himself in that position.
Yeah, can't argue that.
You see what I'm saying? And now, he got a tech last night, or whenever they play. I think it was last night. He got a tech last night. Now, I don't know
how many he has
or what's the count total or whatever the case may be. But even with just, if they don't hurry up and close this out, it could still fester because there's more time to
get another tech.
Get another tech. So with that being said, G, I know the Golden State in Utah is somewhat boring, but your thoughts on who can handle or cannot handle Draymond in the organization?
Well, first, that was Draymond's first tech of the playoffs.
Great. So he got plenty more to go.
But
don't they accumulate from the season up to the playoffs?
No, they start at zero.
They start at zero? So he had 17 throughout the playoffs last year?
No, in the playoffs, it's seven.
Okay.
Because there's fewer games, of course. So, with Draymond, it's a double-edged sword, kind of. Like, he has these antics or whatever to fire up his team. If he feels like the game's getting out of control, he may do something to get the team back focused or to energize them. He's the emotional leader of that team. And on the other side, he can go too far. To where there is no, like you said, there's no one to kind of reel him back in or to calm him down aside from Steve Kerr. I thought that guy would be someone like a David West. If it's not him, then, I mean, it's not going to be Mike Brown.
Pachulia?
It's not. There's a language barrier there, possibly. and maybe before, it might have been Luke Walton. Luke Walton knew how to communicate with Draymond.
He respected him.
He played his best while Steve Kerr was out and Luke Walton was the interim coach. Draymond played his best basketball that last season.
Luke was his coach. His coach bringing him in as a rookie. He taught him how to be an NBA player.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And who in the league right now probably regrets changing jobs more than Luke Walton? And I remember I told you this. He should have never left, especially with Kerr's history, his health issues.
And speaking of that, they're saying Kerr has a leak.
Mm-hmm. Spinal fluid.
Spinal cord leak.
I would have never left that Golden State situation.
That's tough, yeah.
And to go to L.A. when you got Steph and Clay and Draymond, and he would have had KD fall in his lap. He had already been the interim head coach. Stay there. His dad even told him, don't go to L.A. I would not have gone to coach an AAU team when I got a Cadillac situation. It didn't make sense. Think about it.
The way that the Lakers were at the time, it was a bad idea. But I think now there's some shuffling in that organization. And if they're sticking with him, then maybe it might work out for Walton. With them being, I know they're the AAU team.
Unless Clay, Steph, and Draymond coming down to L.A., that was a
but
bad.
But you have a president, GM, or whatever Magic's official title is that's going to be aggressive in free agency and not bring in retreads. He may have the people that can draft better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think things are going to turn around eventually. It may take a couple more years, but if they stick with Walton, it's going to end up working out for him.
From your lips to God's ears, G, I hope you're right. But I'm just telling you, there's no way in the world you measure those two positions right now for the next 5 years. Golden State's going to be a force in the West, barring injury or something like that. Think about it.
But he would have been staying there this year, too. I mean, if Toronto, for some reason, fires their coach, he wouldn't have gone there. So, I mean, he would have stuck around this year.
Kerr might retire. He might be gone.
True.
You see what I'm saying?
They can go back and hire him.
He's not going to leave now. He's not going to leave now.
Well, look on the bright side. If the Lakers get Lonzo Ball, at least y'all can be sponsored by Big Baller Brand.
Hey, man. Send me some shoes.
Oh, boy. Utah. They just ran out of steam.
They don't have enough firepower for the Warriors. Not enough.
There's only one team in the league that can play with Golden State, and that's Cleveland. Up until 2 weeks ago, I didn't think Cleveland had a shot at Golden State. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I've seen what Cleveland is doing now, the way they're playing. At least I think they, right now to me, they were playing better than Golden State.
Yeah.
So up until then, I didn't think any team in the league had a chance, let alone Utah. It's a moot point on them.
Exactly. Houston, San Antonio. Good series. Pop's made an adjustment. Put Kawhi on Harden as he scored a career low in 13, 14 points. Kawhi goes on the other side and misses only three shots for 34 points. That was game two, am I correct?
Game three.
Game three. Because they playing tonight,
late
I think.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2-1.
And Houston is up. I mean, San Antonio is up 2-1 after losing the first game. They come back and win two straight. So, your thoughts on the series and how Pops, or at least how Toronto, how San Antonio has taken the lead back?
This is what you and I, we always talked about Houston, and I know I'm bringing Golden State back in, but the difference between those two was that at least Golden State plays defense. To me, Houston struggles defensively, and they're a one-trick pony. They, when you look at when Golden State plays, you'll see rim getting shots at the rim throughout plays. They run sets to where they get cuts and stuff, where they run circle with Steph and Clay or whatever, or now they even have a nuclear weapon in Durant where they can set on the elbow and get easy shots from elbow down. Mm-hmm. But when you look at Houston, yeah, they get some rim runs sometime or get players cutting to the rim, but it's all off of stationing four outside the three-point line and one down. And it's all really, let's get up as many threes as we can. If you can beat your guy one-on-one, go and try to get to the rim or whatever. But it's nothing that's a structured offense like that. And I think when you live by the three like that and they aren't going, which has been the case the last two games, that's the reason they've had open looks. The first game, they knocked them down. Second game, second, third game, they have not fallen. So when those things aren't working, if you look at what the difference with them and Golden State can get a ball to Durant and say, go get me 20. And he can do that. He can do that because you can't leave the shooters that are out there.
Right.
When you go at Houston, it's a little different. Yeah, Harding might be able to, but you see what happened when Kawhi takes him out. Everybody else struggled because they're cutting off the head of the snake. Mm-hmm. At Golden State, we don't know what the head of the snake is.
Right.
Because you got a playmaker in Draymond, who now when he's making the three as he's made in this series, except for last game, what can you do? And they play defense.
Yeah.
And see, the thing about what Pop is going to do, he's going to defend the three better than, I think they were the best defensive team as far as defending the three in the league. If that's what Houston does and they're not making them and they don't do anything else, they can't do anything but lose.
Yep. G, your thoughts on the series?
That was game two that you were talking about.
Okay.
Where Harden was shot 3 for 17.
Okay.
In game three, he actually scored 43 points.
Right.
But he only had 5 assists. I mean, he took 28 shots. He shot 14 for 28 from the field. But this is a guy who led the league in assists. So if he's scoring, what gets Houston going, if he's scoring and gets his team involved. If he's scoring, his teammates are not scoring, that's where they struggle. The idea, a lot of people thought maybe like Popovich would put Leonard on Harden early in the game and then in the fourth quarter, just so he's not expending all his energy defending Harden. I don't think it's that. I mean, it's awkward to defend Harden because he's trying to draw contact all the time. But if you're disciplined defensively, which I think Leonard is, you know, he could hold Harden to another 3 for 17 game. Or if he just ends up scoring a bunch of points, but he's not getting his teammates involved, that also works for San Antonio.
Also, when we look at Harden, if you dissect how his scoring goes, keep him off the free throw line. And watch that, because that's a major part of his points, is getting to the free throw line. And I think, you know, Popovich and San Antonio are going to get more of a benefit of not getting that questionable, you know, when Harden makes his foray to the rim, he might not be bailed out like he's bailed out against other teams.
Right.
So if he shot 20, you say he was 28 for
14
for
28.
He was 14 for 28.
He was 10 of 11 from the free throw line.
So that's only, he's took 11 attempts. We've seen him get up as many as 19 attempts.
Yeah.
I think the key offensively, though, for the Spurs is they got to get something out of Aldridge. He had 26 in game three. They're going to have to, I mean, they will, they're willing to lean on him. That's why they signed him in the first place, but he's got to step up. You can't leave Leonard out there by himself. I mean, Leonard can get hot and only miss three shots the whole game.
Yeah.
But someone else has to step up as far as that second score.
Yep. I got you. All right. Some real quick hits. If y'all don't mind before we get out of here, G, your thoughts on Porzingis tweeting clips on Twitter and then removing it?
I think there's some talks. I mean, I don't, you know, I think there's some talks about trading him to the Clippers. I don't know who would be involved in that trade, but maybe that might have been a DM that came out as a tweet. It might have been to his agent or something like that.
Right.
But I think they're in talks to trade Porzingis if he really, I think he really wants out. I don't think Phil Jackson, whatever you want, if you're working for Phil Jackson, whatever you want, he won't do. Like, Carmelo wants to stay, Phil wants him out.
Right.
Porzingis wants to go, Phil wants him to stay. You're not going to get what you want.
Exactly.
So, Porzingis may unfortunately be stuck there for a while.
All right, Han, you got, real quick, you got something on that?
Phil got to go, man. That's all you guys need. Phil needs to go.
All right, Han, Bird stepping down. Good move.
Yeah, I think it's a move for him because he didn't want to be the guy that trades Paul George. And if you can't sign Paul George back, you have to trade him, and I don't think he wants to be known as a guy that gave up an all-star.
Gotcha. IG, Paul Pierce played his last game when the Clips lost. Surefire Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's the after Larry Bird, he's the next Boston Celtics legend.
Okay.
He was that next superstar for the Celtics, Hall of Famer.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt. Exactly. You know.
And I got another email actually, for this, and I want y'all a quick opinion. Will Derek Jeter be a unanimous Hall of Fame pick?
No, because that's baseball writers. That's what they do. They just will not do the thing. It used to be with basketball also until what?
Can you believe somebody didn't vote for Hank Aaron?
That's what I mean.
If someone didn't vote for Babe Ruth, someone didn't vote for King Griffey Jr.
But with the reputation that Derek Jeter has had over the years, with all the rings that he has had, how do you not unanimously vote for this guy to be in the Hall of Fame?
For every superstar player throughout baseball history, there's always that writer that's been a hater. That's something you can count on.
It's going to happen.
That'll be sad. Truly be sad. All right, man. I guess that's all the email bags. And that's it. Any final thoughts or words before we get up out of here?
No, not really, man. Just another good week of sports, man. Looking forward to seeing. I hope these playoffs do ramp up. I can't wait to see what happens tonight in the Boston-Washington game. Get your popcorn ready because, you know, that's a physical series. Kind of a throwback to what we saw back in when we were growing up in basketball.
Yeah.
A dislike for the other team.
Exactly.
It makes good basketball.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the Boston-Washington game myself. Actually waiting to see if Washington wins the series, like G said, this will be a measuring stick for them against Cleveland to see what is it that we are missing. And I think that will be my look ahead to see exactly what would be that thing for them. I'm looking for another great finals between Steph and LeBron and to see how that all goes and how that pans out.
I want to see him and KD go.
Yeah, that's gonna be it. You got any final?
Well, like I do agree that like Washington, it will be a measuring stick against Cleveland. You know, if they go ahead and win this series, and with Boston, will they look back with regret that they didn't go after getting Paul George or Jimmy Butler?
That's a good point.
And can they make up for it this summer? They'll probably try to do that.
Gordon Hayward
is also a possibility. Yeah, they did cheer for him when Utah played there in Boston. Jay Crowder was not a fan of that.
He was not happy about that.
I know it. That's crazy. All right, man. Well, look, let's go do it for this, we'll say this week, but today. Hey, listen, Sports Roundtable, please check it out each and every Wednesday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, AM 1100 WRN. I will be going out of town tomorrow. Again, Jay Smooth will be filling the shoes of the HO coming up this week. So, y'all behave, man.
We're going to try.
D. Will say no.
Can't promise you nothing, but we're going
to
try.
There you go with that. And try to keep all the Alabama talk from this side of the room. I'm gonna make sure we don't get all into this Alabama talk. But real quick, I did have a question of who would you rather see a rant from? Nick Saban, Popovich, or Bobby Knight?
I guess Saban, man. I don't like Bobby Knight. Probably I could take a leave, you know. Nick Saban is what he is. I take Saban.
G?
I would say Popovich because he's not going to raise his voice too high.
Oh, Belichick, and too. I forgot Belichick, too.
I'd still stick with Popovich. His voice won't go too high, and what he says might, like, hurt a little more. If you saw, like, when he answered a question during a press conference, and then a few minutes later, like it was about the Memphis series, he answered a question about Mike Conley, said he played well.
Right.
And then like 2 seconds later, another reporter asked a question about how Mike Conley was playing. He's like, did you just get here? Were you listening to anything I just said?
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, he out the tank. All right, man. Well, that's it. I'm going to give you a shout out. Shout out to all our sponsors, J-Juice Cars, Design Queen, Big Easy Grill, and Big Boy Cigars. Shout out to y'all, man. Thank y'all for coming through on a Sunday, man, taking time out of your day. Shout out to the crew, D. Will. I know you're printing them T-shirts. Jewel Sports, Tiff, Jay Smooth. I know you're riding around. And to my main man, Slick Money, thanks a lot. Thanks for all the loyal listeners who will continue to support Sports Roundtable and the SRT crew. And shout out to my Emory folks, man. I'm ready to get it going on. Let's get to this D.C. trip. After 5 o'clock, after 6 o'clock, it's stogie time for me. So I hope y'all are ready. But other than that, man, y'all have a blessed week. And that's from me.
Yeah, big homie, I just want to shout you out, man. Be safe on that trip up there, man. It's a lot of things going on in this world. Ain't looking right for, you know, certain sides. You know, if you ain't wealthy, it's kind of tough right now.
Yeah,
so be careful. The health plan is going down. So I don't know what they got at Emory, but you might need to check to see if you still covered.
Yeah,
so,
I know, right.
Do what you got to do. And I just, on a serious note, want to give a shout out to one of my partners I grew up with. Kelvin McFadden lost his father this past week, man, last week. And I didn't get to shout him out because our show was kind of interrupted. But anyway, I want to shout out to you, man. Stay strong, man. God has a plan. You'll be good, and I'm sure your father's good.
All right.
A shout out to my mom and dad who listen to the show every week. Shout out to my niece, Matea. She got a full scholarship to Johnson & Wales University. She's studying to be a chef.
Where is that at?
That's in Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Congrats.
Congrats to that.
And also, you guys want to follow me on social media? I'm at G Plays It Cool on Instagram. And also have a music podcast called By the Time You Hear This. You can go to bythetimeyouhearthis.com.
All right. Hey, listen, you want to follow the show, please Follow us on all social media at SRT Radio. And our website, it is srtradio.com. So please follow us on social media. Give us a like. Give us a look up. Go to our webpage. Read everything you need about sports. It's a one-stop sports source. Trust me when I tell you. So, but we got to get up out of here. But it has been fun. I'm about to go and do what I do on Sundays. You know how we do it. So thanks for tuning in once again, man. And until next time, Hancock, let's roll.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
It's your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. B.C. R.I.P. Mom. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
you probably ate a big ball of no white.
We out. Peace.